Now, this is something, the platelets are the little factors that fly around in your bloodstream that allow for clotting. And if you don't have platelets, you'll start bleeding all over the place. I mean, you'll start bleeding out your rear end, bleeding into your skin. That's what the bruising is. And normally, a platelet count is around 350,000. And Jonathan was 5.
Yeah.
And when you get below 20,000, you get spontaneous bleeding. Just so you bleed out your nose, bleed out your eyes, petechiae.
I had petechiae all over my legs and stuff.
You didn't notice that?
I noticed them. I'm like, what the hell is going on? I'm like, this is
you're
right.
A mortician. You should have seen that.
I saw. I'm like, why do I have petechiae on him?
Okay, all right. You knew what it was.
I knew what they were, but I'm like, why do I have them?
I must have strained. I must have strained on the stage.
Because it was all on my legs.
Yeah.
It wasn't anywhere else on my body. And then I went to the hospital, and I was scared out of my mind because I'm in Europe, and I don't know what the care is like there. It was in the best hospital in London. Doctors came in. They had to give me a bone marrow transplant.
Bone marrow biopsy.
Or bone marrow, not transplant.
Not transplant. That would be
not
a little
transplant.
More
that
intense.
Would be me into a bone marrow test.
Bone marrow.
Or biopsy, whatever.
They basically put a corkscrew in by your sacrum, your pelvic crest here, and they just dig in, open
the
bone
painful
marrow.
Thing I ever went through in my life.
And lo and behold, you had what's called immune thrombocytopenia purpura, or ITP.
Yes.
Tell me about what you've learned. We haven't talked about this yet. What did you learn about ITP?
It's an immune disorder where basically proteins are attached to my platelets from my cells, from my immune system, which my platelets are destroyed in my spleen.
Right, your spleen takes them out of the circulation. It's one of the most common cause of a drop in platelet. It's associated with lupus.
Associated with lupus.
Which you don't have.
I don't have lupus. Yeah. I hope I don't have lupus.
Yeah. And it's highly steroid responsive, so they...
I've been on steroid for a month and a half, and I've started out at 60, and I've gone down. Now I'm taking 5 a day.
5 milligrams a day.
5 milligrams a day, and my platelet count's 204. So, and it's going
up. You're back. You're good.
So I'm hoping
that's nice.
It stays.
Wow, what a story! How long? This was 6 weeks ago. You first were diagnosed.
Yeah.
How long have you been back stateside?
About 5 weeks of it.
So you were 1 week out there in England.
I've been in England for 3 weeks. I was in the middle of a tour. We had to cancel the tour.
Oh my God!
And I was in a hospital there in England for 4 days, and then I just jumped on a plane because my platelets went up to 100, and they're like, "You're fine to fly.
Get me home.
Get me home." And
home
I'm
where?
To a wonderful doctor and
home out here in Los Angeles.
Yes.
Or? Yeah.
And I'm doing good. So things are looking good.
So you're still on the Family Values tour?
Of course.
That's still going on.
It's still going on.
Are you back on the road now or?
No, we're getting ready. I'm leaving on Tuesday.
You and your prednisone.
Me and my prednisone. But hopefully next week, if they still stay up, I'll go down to 5 and 2.5 and then just go off completely.
Oh, man. It must have just freaked you out.
Dude, I thought I was going to die. I could have died easily.
Well, if you hit your head or something.
Yeah, if I hit my head.
Yeesh. Okay, the Family Values Tour, if you have a question about that, it's www.familyvalueslive.com, right? Family Values Live. Latest CD is See You on the Other Side. We're going to hear us Twist Transistor in just a minute. You guys formed in Bakersfield. I'm not sure if the rest of the country understands the full, what's the word I'm looking for? The zeitgeist of Bakersfield out here in the West. Why don't you fill everybody in?
It's a very, when I grew up, it was a smaller town. It's growing. It's getting huge now.
That's what I hear.
Bigger. But,
I mean, you would equate it with like.
Very country.
Yeah, but country meets desert.
Country meets desert. It's like the Inland Empire. It's like Sacramento. It's like, but I'd say worse. But I love it. I got love for Bakersfield. It's where I'm from. It's my hometown.
What do you think about all the, back about when you were growing up, there was a lot of scares about cults living up there and this kind of
there
thing.
There was cult scares.
Was that true? Or was that?
No. And then there was the, you know, it's ground zero for Valley Fever and all it's so agricultural and, you know, there's a lot of, you know, there's
maybe you have Coxy, Valley Fever.
That would rule if it was something else. I just wanted to go away.
All right, let's take some calls, shall we?
Yes, let's do it.
Jonathan Davis in here from Corn. We're going to talk about his years as a mortician. We're going to talk about his ITP. Any other questions you might have, it's 1-800-LOVE-191. Here is Cheyenne. I just finished doing Tom Green's web. You got to do this. He has a webcast he does every night. It's a blast to do webcasts that are really well decked out.
Really?
Yeah. I'll give you
check it out. Yeah.
Information. Cheyenne.
Yeah.
What's up?
I have a question, like, about my boyfriend, because, like, when we hang out, everything's normal, but, like, when he hangs out with this one friend, like, he doesn't want me around, and I kind of, like, think they're doing things together, because one friend.
No, guys get that way.
But I don't understand, because it's just that one friend that he won't let me be around.
Is his one friend gay?
I'm not sure. Like, I really kind of have feelings that they do things together.
Really? So, John, here you go.
I don't know.
The prednisone going to make you more outspoken?
The prednisone makes me crazy, bro.
Yeah, I know it does.
I've been an emotional roller coaster, and I'm crazy. I'm thinking, I don't know. That's a hard one. You basically have to catch him to act if you're really going to know. You know, you don't, you just, you have the feeling, go with your gut.
Did you ask him?
No, because, like, I don't want his friend to be, like, offended if, like, they're really not doing anything, but...
Well, don't, but you don't have to ask him in front of the friend.
No, don't just, ask him in front of the friend, just ask your boyfriend.
Just yeah, something that makes you like, weird
if he's not doing anything, I don't want him to be offended, like, to make him think that I think he's gay.
Have you asked him why it is he wants to be alone with this guy? Have you just asked the simple question?
All right. Thank you.
That's it?
That's all you gotta do.
All right. Fair enough. Here's Jonathan Davis' question. Andrew.
Hey, John. How's it going?
It's going good, brother. How you doing?
I'm good. First off, I'd like to thank you for doing everything. I'm a huge fan of Korn. You've kind of grown up with me through the years, and it's really been a big help.
I'm glad I could help you, brother.
All right. Well, my question is that I heard about you talking about a Korn covers album before in the past.
Mm-hmm.
How are you? Is that still going on, or did
it's going to be an ongoing? Yeah, it's going to be an ongoing project for a while. I mean, we're not planning on releasing it anytime soon, but it's just when we get time and we're bored on the road or in the studio, we'll do a cover, and we're going to just get a big bunch of covers together and maybe one day put out a record.
Oh, sounds good. I'm really looking forward to it.
Right on, bro.
Thank you.
All right, Andrew, thanks.
Mm-hmm.
Take care. 1-800-LOVE-191 is the number. Jacqueline, 20, what's up?
Hello?
Hey there, what's happening?
Nothing. Nothing too, you know, big.
Not too heavy?
Yeah, or maybe, no, never mind. Okay, my question is, well, first of all, I just have something to say to Jonathan. Is that okay?
Okay.
Here you go. He's here.
When you were in Denver back in, I think it was February,
mm-hmm.
for the KBPI birthday bash,
mm-hmm.
that was the best concert I've ever been to.
Thank you.
Had so much fun. It was awesome. Like, I have never worked out so much at a concert in my life. Like, I got
that
so much exercise.
Show.
It was so much fun.
I remember that show. It was really fun.
Yeah, and I'm excited
you're going to
be back out here in August.
Yeah, we're going to be out there soon. Yeah. Cool,
okay.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
Is that it?
Thank you. No.
Okay,
my
here we go.
My question is, when my boyfriend has an anxiety attack, his penis gets sucked in, like, it goes in.
The turtle syndrome.
What is that?
Everything in his body is nervous, and it's pulling back inside to conserve itself.
I just went through that.
What happened?
I just had to go to the urologist to get a checkup, and that happens every time I go to the urologist.
It goes away. You know, he's heading for the other direction to push it back out, though. So...
That's normal. Any kind of anxiety.
Testes go up and in. The penis.
Everything. You want to protect that area.
Right. It's something that Mother Nature has given us to protect our innards, or protect our things that are important to the male.
Okay. And so.
That's surprising to you?
No, but it's kind of. I don't know.
Indeed, you didn't.
I want to know why you're looking at his penis when he's having
a panic attack. Yeah.
That's
leave the guy alone.
Because he was like, check this out. And I was like, oh, my God.
Well, then he's not having a panic attack if he's going, check this out.
No, he was.
A bad one.
He was having one.
Except for those forever.
Dr. Drew?
Yeah.
I spoke with you a couple of weeks ago about my mom being in jail, and we videotaped your show when it was on MTV.
Yeah.
And we had it on VHS recording.
Right.
And you wanted my email address.
What do you have on VHS? Fill me in again.
Loveline from when it was on TV.
From back in the day? Okay, give me that.
Yeah.
Offline. We'll give it on the air.
Hold on, okay?
We'll get that from you. Thank you very much, Jacqueline. Panic attacks. Tell us about that.
Panic attacks?
Jonathan and panic attacks.
Panic attacks are horrible.
Yeah.
Mine started, I think it was 9 years ago.
Yeah.
And I'm just a messed up person. Like, damn. Anyways,
common medical issues.
So the panic attack started a long, long time ago, about 9 years ago. I think it stemmed from the years of meth abuse and just abuse I've given to my body. I started getting these horrible panic attacks.
So meth and pot will induce panic attacks. That is true. Were you doing a lot of pot too?
Here and there.
Yeah.
But it was mostly drinking and
drinking will do it too.
And coke and whatever goes along with it.
But you had mentioned also that there was some traumatic stuff you were having to deal with.
Well, I had PST or
post-traumatic stress.
Yeah, however you say it. I had that, but I was over that.
You'd already been treated for that?
Yeah.
Oh, no kidding. And so you had PTSD from putting people together as a mortician.
Yeah.
And they treated you with...
With the rapid eye movement thing.
Crazy.
And I had no more problems. That was more about dreams and me waking up in the middle of the night, you know, tripping out, that kind of stuff. And the panic attack stuff came up from just, I guess, me killing myself on the road. And I became schizophrenic. I started thinking people were trying to poison my food.
That's amphetamine.
And I haven't done amphetamines for a long time.
At that point?
Yeah. Yeah. But I started starting to feel like my food was being poisoned and I couldn't trust anybody, and my panic attacks weren't like, okay, I'd come along and it'd go away. My panic lasted 24 hours a day. Eesh. It wouldn't stop.
Ugh.
So it was when we did the first family values. It was really bad. The first family values we did, I spent the whole tour in my bunk, basically. And they started trying to give me medicine, and now I got anxiety from taking medicine.
Oh, no.
And so it was this one big long crazy circle, and I fought it for at least a year, and then I got on Prozac, and I've been on that for 8 years, and I haven't any more
problems.
That
took care of it.
Took care of it. So I think when you mess with drugs, it messes with your brain chemistry.
Yes, it does.
And, I mean, I don't mean like that guy preaching, but, you know, it's not really worth it. It isn't.
Here is Leslie. She's 22. Leslie, what is it you do for a living?
I'm a circus performer.
Circus performer.
That rules.
Yeah.
What do you do?
I like trapeze, tight wire, all of that jazz.
Wow. Did you grow up with that? Are your family into that or something?
I did. There was a youth circus. I grew up in Indiana, Peru, Indiana. And there
Indiana isn't what came to mind. I was thinking like, some part of some of the Balkans or something.
Yeah, yeah.
You
know?
So, wow. Yeah, it was just like an after-school program. Grew up doing that and started performing professionally. But my question is one of the acts that I do has me, I basically am bouncing from bungees, and I have a harness on that the bungees clip into that is similar to a rock climbing harness, but it has you in a standing up position. And I don't have as much sensation as I feel like I should have when I'm having sex and stuff like that. And I'm wondering if that could be somewhat related, or if, I mean, I did riding in a cycle for God knows how many years, so like...
Oh, my God. I have many different themes I have to get into with you here. First of all, what do you mean by sex and stuff like that?
Oh, just with sex and oral sex.
Okay.
Just the two.
And
she's numb down yonder.
Down yonder, just numb. And masturbation, too, which I guess she doesn't do.
Yeah.
Doesn't do that. And describe to this harness again. I mean, what are you doing that you have what is the act? What are you doing?
there's a trapeze bar, and along the same lines as the trapeze bar, 13 feet wide, there's two points that have bungees that are then attached to my hips. So, like, I'm swinging from the bar, and I drop off the bar, but I have the bungees on. So you bounce and flip and catch the bar again.
I see. You're sort of flying through space.
Yeah, that kind of
got
thing.
Got it.
So it's a lot of spinning and flipping. And
is this something you had a desire to do your whole life? Your family put you into it? Or how did this happen to you?
No, I was the only one that did it. It was just after school. I was a gymnast, and I hurt myself when they wouldn't train me anymore. And they made a crack about joining the circus, and there was one in my town.
Oh, my
and
God.
And so I did.
That's cool. Wild.
And
this harness hits your perineum? It goes up between your legs?
Each strap does go between my legs, but it's not, like, centered or anything. I mean, it's more, like, it doesn't actually rest in between my legs, but I just didn't know if it could hit that. Like, it's hard to...
I guess it could, but I've never seen one of these harnesses, so it's hard to say. I have seen a unicycle seat, though.
Yeah.
I wear those harnesses when I go fly points.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Wait, Jonathan has a harness, and does it...
It's like a rigger's harness where they go. It goes straps around your thighs and in between your legs.
But
and,
it's not sitting down. It's a standing up harness. So like when you're there's a pick on each hip.
I see. Like, well, it's got to go between your legs if it's a standing up harness. It's got to get in there.
Right.
Yeah, it goes between your legs, but it's not like on your thigh. It's like in between your legs.
Right, there's the pudendal nerve sitting there. Yes, your pudendal nerve can get pressure. The same one that would get pressure if you're riding on a bicycle or a unicycle. All those things can pressure that nerve. It can affect sensitivity. It sure can.
Something that, like, when I stop doing the sacs will, like, heal itself?
Probably, but not necessarily.
Because of the long-term effect on it.
Generally, nerves regenerate as long as the sheath is there. And so long as you actually haven't cut it, it usually will regenerate. Okay?
Okay. Wow. Thank you.
All righty. First circus act performer we've had on this show.
It almost
sounds strange that that's the case. It's after all Loveline, but that's the case.
That was wild.
All right. Now, this is an interesting one that you can help me with. Veronica, 20.
Yes, sir.
What's happening?
Not too much. I actually had a question on necrophilia. My question is can you contract any sort of disease from necrophilia? We were discussing it in a class that I have. I'm a college student, and I am in Mr. Blake Moore's belief system class, and we were discussing the urban myth of a girl giving her boyfriend head, in which she contracts maggots within her throat because the boyfriend is... people while working at the morgue.
Okay, now, hold on. Veronica, I don't know how much national radio you listen to, but the effing doesn't go over on radio, generally speaking. I hope you guys caught that. And Corey, we're all good with that. I just want to make sure you were there. I haven't talked to you yet tonight. Anderson. All right, so hang on a second. So she's saying that, I've never heard this urban myth, by the way, that if
you can get maggots. You can get a mortician's disease called scabies.
Yeah, you can get scabies. You got that, Veronica?
You can get scabies.
You can get scabies from working with animals, too.
And with animals.
Yeah, but...
What exactly are scabies?
Scabies, it's like...
Body lice?
Yeah, it's like fleas. But they kind of sit on your skin.
Lice. Yeah. But, like, STDs, no, I mean, I don't know.
You know, there's a lot of different bacteria living in dead bodies than live bodies. And I suppose if you had an open wound or something, you could maybe get different kinds of infections. But nothing specific comes to mind. I've seen lots of STDs out there, and it's not as though I'm seeing things from dead people. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm. Right.
So, Veronica, what are you doing?
Nothing, actually. I have a friend of mine who's very aroused by the idea of necrophilia, but has never committed the act.
It's a he or she?
It's a he.
Yeah.
Wow.
Is he doing mortician's work or anything?
No. And not as far as I know has he ever committed any sexual acts.
Tell him to go buy a real doll and he'll be fine.
A real doll.
Yeah.
Well, did you ever discuss this in your training for morticians?
No, it was just everywhere around me.
People were doing it?
They weren't doing it. I mean, there was people who kicked out of my college for doing it.
What?
Yeah.
Are you kidding me?
Yeah, there's people who really get off on doing that kind of thing. And it's
disgusting.
I mean, I don't see anything sexual about
God, and most of them are not exactly what you call young.
No, and
I know that
the psychology about it, because these people like with men, they like to be in control. They like the fact that they can do anything they want with this person, and they're completely in control, and it's a control issue thing.
Yeah, the friend of mine who enjoys necrophilia also enjoys the choking out his sexual partners.
Yeah. Yeah,
so
super aggressive.
That super aggressive.
Objectifying. Yeah.
Yeah, that's just, I mean, there's just deeper issues there.
Yeah.
But, people, they're in that kind of thing, you know. Well, for one, that's way against the law. You don't want to be getting into mortuary business and doing that to poor people's grandmothers. And stuff.
By the way, what's the deal with this guy going into law enforcement and having those kinds of impulses?
Yeah, he's not in law enforcement.
Oh, what's his deal?
He's a film student.
Film student.
Oh, well, that's okay then.
Well, dude, he's going to make some great films. No, it's just, I don't know. It's wrong. It definitely is wrong, but, you know, there's people out there into it.
Why do you hang with this guy?
I actually don't anymore, which is why I was wondering about, we'd come to find certain things about this gentleman, which was quite disturbing. Just the whole, like, posing bodies during sex acts and the knees.
You should excuse the expression, get his hands on bodies.
He doesn't. It's like a girlfriend or a sexual partner that he
sexual
meets.
Sexual partner. Play dead.
And,
a lot of people get in a cold bath.
He chokes them out until they fall asleep, and then he poses their bodies and continues sexual acts with them.
Oh, my God. Yeah. By the way, not falling asleep, Veronica, when you cut off the blood supply to the brain and people pass out, that's not a sleep state.
Mm-mm.
Okay. That's near stroke, okay?
Okay.
That's a coma, basically.
Not good.
Hey, good times, though, huh?
Yeah, good times.
So
all right, well,
here's the deal. I appreciate the fact that you're no longer hanging out with this guy, okay? Thanks for the good questions, though. Yeah. You know, what's interesting, you probably have at least more than a passing medical knowledge from all the mortician's work.
Uh-huh.
And here you get these, you get panic, PTSD, and ITP. Everything, yeah. All the alphabet soup stuff.
All the letters.
Yes. Is ITP something you've heard of? Or
no,
you,
I've never even heard of it.
It's pretty common. It's the most common thrombocytopenia, which is low platelets.
Well, when I got diagnosed with it, the hematologist was like, this is the most benign thing. You're lucky. This is what you want to have.
Right. If you're going to have a bone marrow problem, this is the one. It happens to women more than men, if I remember right.
Yeah, it's a woman thing. So yeah. I'm like in the 10%. It's just crazy. All the people that I've talked to that have had it have been girls. So
yeah. So, and a lot of lupus association. Phone number here is 1-800-LOVE-191. Jonathan Davis from Corn coming in here tonight, or already in here tonight. Next week, Lauren, you got to give me next week's list. I know we have Jurassic 5 up here, and who else we got? Get that list. And the phone number, once again, 1-800-LOVE-191. We're going to be talking more to Jonathan, and we'll be hearing some Corn songs after this. There we go. It's Love Line, the number 1-800-LOVE-191. Jonathan Davis from Corn in here. Give us a call. This now is Kelly, 18. Kelly.
Hey, how's it going?
We're good.
What's up?
Jonathan Davis.
That's me.
Nice. Mortician extraordinaire.
How are you doing tonight?
Good.
Good. So I was wondering if you guys could tell me, my girlfriend and I have just recently experimented with her putting her toes inside of me and me doing the same for her.
Toes?
Yeah, toes.
Huh?
Oh, right. I'm digging that. No, that's like a foot thing. Yeah. Okay, what about
are you into feet?
Huh?
You like feet? No, Jonathan.
I like feet if they're pretty.
But not, you're not like into
No,
feet.
I'm not into it. No, I can't.
Okay.
She loves my feet. Like, she said she's never had a foot fetish before, and she likes my feet, so she wanted me to put mine inside of her. And then it really turned me on because it's all, you know, wet and hot and all that. So I wanted her to do it to me, and we were wondering if we can get anything from that.
Athlete's crotch.
Mm-hmm.
Well, we don't have athletes, but
I mean, not really. No, the simple answer is no.
Okay.
I
mean,
you gotta
be equipped down there to kill things if you're going in there. But a whole foot or toes?
Just, not a whole foot, like the toes, like.
All right, I just wanted to make it clear.
The tippy toes.
I just want to make that clear. All right, cool. Well, go on with your bad self.
Huh?
How old's your girlfriend?
She's 17. Hi, guys.
Is that her?
Oh. Hi.
Leaving? Is that her?
That's Hello.
What's her name?
Jessica.
Is she on the phone, or was she just shoving her face in there and saying hi?
No, she's on the phone, too.
Okay. So how did you have the impulse to do this in the first place, Jessica?
I like her feet.
Yeah, but I like cupcakes, but I don't push them inside me. You know what I mean? I put them in my mouth.
Well, you can. You're gonna get like, if you want to put your cupcakes, then that's a bit of a difference.
I'm just saying, what was the impulse? I just don't quite understand it. So I'm not saying it was.
People are into feet. This.
They do. They wear some of the feet.
Them.
Yeah. Are you into feet, Jessica?
No, not usually, but I am.
Just her feet.
Yeah.
Wow. You got a foot fetish.
All right. Let's talk to somebody who's got ITP. Sarah.
Hi.
Sarah.
Hi.
This is a typical ITP patient. Go ahead.
I'm just calling, you know, I have ITP and I was diagnosed with that a year ago when I was 17.
Okay.
And I just want to see, like, what you do to handle it. Because you said you take prednisone, right?
Yeah,
for a while.
Yeah, well, I'm not allowed to take prednisone because I'm too young, or they told me I was too young. So I go into the hospital about twice a month.
Mm-hmm. For immunoglobulin?
No, it's called Winro. And what it does is it kills my blood platelets. So then I get colds all the time and I'm sick.
Mm-hmm.
It kills your white cells.
Your white cells.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. No, that's what I meant to say. My answer. Yeah. So I was just seeing what you do to handle it, like.
For me, it's just been, I've been taking the prednisone and it's been working wonderfully for me.
And that works fine? Your platelets stay up and everything?
Yes. But I mean, I've had it for a month and as they started to wean me. when they started to wean me off, my platelets started going down, 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 down. And my last one, when I was on 10 milligrams a day, I was at 158. And then they kicked me down even smaller, and I went shot up to 200 and something. So,
and by the way, it looks like this is from having taken a penicillin-type antibiotic. We were just talking about it off the air. And for those of you that take antibiotics every time you get a damn sore throat or a runny nose, this is just one of the many things that can happen from antibiotics. Just don't take them if you don't need them.
Yeah.
Sarah, go ahead.
I'm not allowed to take aspirin and stuff anymore either.
Right. No, I can't take aspirin either.
Are they worried that you have lupus?
No, actually, the big scare for me is that they tested me for leukemia like 3 times because they weren't sure, and they thought I had cancer for a little while, and then I just had ITP, so it was okay, but,
That's scary.
It was scary for a while, especially for my
parents. Wow. All right, Sarah, hang in there. I'm sorry you're going through all this. You going off to college or something soon? You going off to college or something soon?
Yes, I'm actually, I late applied to a bunch of art schools for graphic designing.
Great.
Well, it's awesome.
Excellent.
Good luck with everything.
This is Leslie, 19. Leslie.
Hey, I had a question. This happened earlier today. I was having intercourse with my boyfriend, and he was jacking off, like, in front of me. My face was close to his...
We got it, Leslie.
The thing is, I was wondering. So semen went into my eye. Can I get anything from that? My eye was all red. Today at work,
There's a chemical irritation that can occur, and to have a red eye is not uncommon at all from that kind of thing. But there are more serious things that can happen. For instance, if he had something awful like HIV to give you, it could happen that way. Number one. Number two, gonorrhea and chlamydia, commonly that way. Not, I shouldn't say commonly. Classically, it can be transmitted to the eye.
I mean, if he's clean and everything, would everything be okay? Or?
Yes, everything should be fine. Just a little irritation, that's about it. Okay?
Okay.
Poor thing.
You go with that?
And I wanted to say hi to Jonathan. Hey, Jonathan.
Hi, honey. How you doing?
Pretty good now.
I hope your eye gets better.
I know, me too.
Look the other way next time.
Huh?
I said look the other way next time.
Turn your head.
Turn your head.
When did this happen?
This was earlier today.
Oh, yeah. So by tomorrow, it should be fine. Rinse it out real well, okay?
Okay. Thank you, guys.
All right. Good luck. Yeesh. Let's talk to Richard. 17, Richard.
Hey, I have a question for John. Actually, a couple of them.
Okay.
First off, I've been a big fan of Korn since I was 10.
Awesome.
And I own every album except for that Live and Rare CD that just came out about a month ago.
Okay.
And my first question for the Family Values Tour, how did you get Flyleaf on the bill?
How we get them on the bill?
Called them up and said, you guys like to go on the tour.
Yeah, they've been doing really good, and they've had a couple great songs on the radio lately, and they've been slowly just building and building and building, and we thought it would be cool to have them on the show.
Yeah, they're really good live. I saw them with another band, and
they go off live.
All right, Richard, there we go. You can't slow down this show because we'll leave you behind. Renee, what's up?
Hey, I have a question about the anxiety thing you were talking about earlier.
Yeah, panic attacks you were talking about earlier.
Yeah.
I don't think that they're quite that bad, but. I don't know, when I'm at work or something, I work like 10-hour shifts, and all of a sudden I just keep on thinking that the people that I'm away from, like my boyfriend, that when I see him next, he's going to be different and he's going to die or something, and I can't get it out of my head. I know that it is so dumb, but I cannot get it out of my head, and I don't want to take any medicine. Because I don't think it's a big deal. And
do you do a lot of other things too, Renee? Like where you have to sort of do numbers or not step on the cracks in the sidewalk or think that if you do certain things, bad things are going to happen to people around you? That kind of thinking?
Yeah.
That's obsessive compulsive disorder. Yeah, that's OCD. That is kind of an anxiety disorder. But it can get, you're 15. Are you smoking a lot of pot?
Oh, no.
Do any drugs?
No.
You know, a lot of pot smokers get a lot of OCD stuff sometimes. Well, there you go. This is not so much an anxiety disorder, but an obsessive compulsive disorder.
Is there anything I can do without taking medication?
there are people that do certain kinds of cognitive behavioral or deconditioning kinds of treatments out there. You really have to find somebody, a psychologist who specializes in these kinds of disorders. You're calling from Wyoming? It may be hard to find somebody out there. There's not even that many here in Los Angeles that do that. Most often this kind of thing is treated with medication, really, OCD. But it's something that you can sort of try to live with, try to either change your thinking about it and maybe learn how not to think that way about things. But it is highly biological. It can be hard sometimes. Jesse.
Hi.
Hey there.
Longtime fan of the show, Jonathan Davis, Korn, love you guys. 20 years old, I've been a fan for 10 years. All you guys in Boise, and I think it was Martin Champagne.
Right on.
You guys do it 10 years in Mudbane. Awesome show.
Awesome.
My question is for Dr. Drew. I have one for Jonathan later, too, if you allow me.
Okay.
My question for Dr. Drew is, when my girlfriend is giving me oral sex, mm-hmm. I know most guys enjoy it, and I do. I enjoy it as well, but I have trouble actually ejaculating in her mouth.
Like, because you're afraid of doing that, or just because you have trouble reaching orgasm?
Because, I mean, I can reach it. I mean, it's almost there, and it's like I'm holding back. It's like I'm withdrawing from doing it. It's like I don't really want to do it. I mean, I want to do it, but it's like I can't.
What's the reason you don't want to?
I don't know. I don't know why. I just can't bring myself to do it.
I feel
bad because I feel like I'm letting her down, or I feel bad about it.
We really don't know how you're feeling. So you got to tell us. Is it your fear of something? Is it going to harm her? Or is there some fantasy you harbor? What's going on?
Does it gross you out?
Maybe that's. I think that's. The only thing that I can find is it would gross me out.
That's fine. That's reasonable.
That's fine. It's reasonable, dude.
Yeah, and by the way, you don't have to do that.
You don't have to blast off.
If you're not into it, enjoy. It's fine.
Yeah, just enjoy it. A lot of
guys have trouble having orgasm with
Period.
Oral sex, and they even when they like it, they just can't reach a climax with it. And then the idea of it being something yucky. We agree.
That's normal, man.
Yeah.
It's normal to maybe want to pull out and finish.
Yeah,
absolutely.
Do what you got to do.
Yeah, relax. All right, what's the other question for Jonathan?
The other question for Jonathan is, I know that you collect the serial killer memorabilia, and I know you have a lot of the really cool stuff, Ted Bundy's Volkswagen. I just wanted to know what was the latest piece that you added to your collection.
Nothing. And I really don't talk about this stuff anymore. I'm sorry, brother.
You were more into that one time, or?
Yeah, but now I can't say anything due to...
Oh, okay. Fair enough.
I can't say nothing.
Wait,
sorry.
Send us out to a song about that.
All right.
You can do that.
We're going to listen to... We're going to do, okay, this is was our first single off of our new record called Twisted Transistor. Check it out.
It's Korn.
Twisted transistor, hold it between your legs. Turn it up, turn it up. transistor.
Korn, Jonathan Davis in here tonight with us. Give him a call, 1-800-LOVE-191. It's Loveline. We'll return after this.
55463, that's the number. You send a text message with the word Loveline in it and join Loveline Mobile, the ever-growing Loveline community where Loveline listeners meet each other through text messages. Loveline Mobile, 55463.
Jonathan Davis from Korn, korn.com, also familyvalueslive.com. If you want to hear about the Family Values Tour, check it out online. Also, August 19th at the Hyundai Pavilion, that's where they'll be. Who else is coming out that day?
It's going to be us, the Deftones, Stone Sour, Flyleaf, and this crazy band from Japan called Duran Gray.
Duran Gray?
Duran Gray. Mm. And then we have a second stage, and that's going to be Deadzy, band which is coming out on my label. We got Deadzy, we got Bury Your Dead. Who else?
Bullets
and Octane.
Go to familyvalues.com.
FamilyValues.com. You'll see a Bullets and Octane in 10 years.
Yeah. FamilyValuesLive.com. Here now is Liz, who is 26. Liz.
Hi.
Hey.
Hi.
You're on the air. Here you go.
Hi, Jonathan.
How you doing, hon?
I just want to say good job on Kimmel. I was there.
Oh, awesome.
When was that?
We did that.
That was on Tuesday.
Tuesday. Mm-hmm. Played on there, did some acoustic stuff. It was really cool.
Nice.
Hello?
Yeah, we're here.
Okay. Well, I just had a question. There's just this person at work that, like, has just been spreading things about me, like, saying that we've gotten together and it's never happened. So, you know, I don't know if I should just, like, I don't know, because it's really stressing me out, like, with all my coworkers, like, saying that, you know, something's happened and I just
And you attempt to be adamant with them that nothing has happened.
Yeah, but then they keep saying, like, oh, yeah, something happened. And
You got to go after this guy. Tell him to shut up.
I did, and he's just, you know, saying, oh, I'm, you know, it doesn't matter because they're not going to believe you. They're going to believe me. And
what?
Well, it just bothers me. And he's, you know, telling them details, like, saying, like, oh, I'm good in, you know, bed and everything. And
call him out in front of everybody.
Yeah, I mean, that is some really messed up stuff. What kind of place is this?
Well, I work at Costco.
Costco. And he's not the manager, is he?
No, he's just one of the workers there.
Go to the manager. That's his job, to protect you from stuff like that.
Yeah, but he knows, like, a lot of people, so. All right, It just bothers me a lot.
Listen, you have all the power here when it comes to protection you can expect from your employer. Make a formal complaint to your manager. Tell them that it's a harassment. It's sexual harassment. You could own that Costco if they don't do anything about it. Please tell the guy, and he'll put a stop to it. Believe me.
Yeah, they don't want a lawsuit.
Believe me, my dear. They will put a stop to it immediately. Okay?
Okay, well.
And if there's any sort of formal process where you can submit something written, go right ahead and do it. And, man, you watch the sparks fly. You will not hear another word about this. All right?
All righty. Well, it was good talking to Jonathan.
Let me ask this. Why would you not do it?
I don't know. Because at first it was like, the funny thing is that he kind of looks like Jonathan. I've loved Korn for, like, ever. And I'm like, he kind of looks like Jonathan. So people were like, she likes him. So that's why people think, you know, like, something did happen.
Look, this is sexual harassment of a sort. Report it, all right?
Just report it.
Yeah,
that's why I was scared, because I'm like, people think I like him, so they're going to, like, not believe me.
Report it. Okay?
Okay.
All right. Oh, my goodness. People will not come to their own defense. It's amazing. Brandon.
Yeah, what's going on?
You tell us.
I've got a question for Jonathan, man.
What's up, Brandon?
I've read on the internet somewhere, man, that in Denver you guys are going to have stripper poles in the crowd for the Family Values Tour.
Yeah, I've heard that.
Are you guys doing anything like that in Phoenix?
I don't know. It's just different every day. We're going to see.
The stripper poles without...
They'll be there.
Stripper poles without strippers?
I don't know. They're going to be there. We'll see what happens.
So are the
with strippers. They're saying with strippers.
Oh, okay, so we'll have some dancers.
Performers
out there. They won't be stripping. We can't do that, but... They'll be out there...
Working the pole. All right, Brandon. Hang on, buddy. You'll be all right. you'll make it. Hold on till you get to the show. All right. This is Justin, 15. Justin.
Hi. My question's for Jonathan.
Yeah, what's up, Justin?
When are you guys going to release a new album?
Don't know right now. We're in the process of writing a new one.
That's pretty cool.
In between tours, and when we're on tour, we have little rigs with us, we write, and I have no idea, to be honest.
All right, thanks.
You're welcome.
Bye.
All right, Justin. And let's see, this one more here is Sam. Sam, what's up?
Hello?
Hey, Sam.
Hi, Sam.
Sam's 13. What's up there?
Hey, I don't know why, but, like, I can't, like, go to sleep until, like, 5 o'clock a.m.
Hmm.
And I don't know why.
Jonathan?
And this happens every night?
Pretty much, yeah.
Do you ever fall asleep and then wake up again?
Yeah.
Well, the most common cause of what's called early awakening, which means you go to sleep for a couple hours and you wake up and you can't sleep the rest of the night, is depression. And 13-year-olds, that's sort of a more classic adult depressive symptom.
Well, like, when I was in, like, second grade, I had, like, insomnia. So I don't know.
Well, that's what you're having now. Insomnia means you just can't sleep. There's all kinds of insomnia.
Yeah.
And yes, you can't. How did they treat it back then? How did they treat it back then?
I don't know. I just, like, started sleeping normally again, I guess.
Did something happen during the night that freaked you out or made you anxious?
No, I just couldn't, like, go to sleep.
But you weren't worrying about something?
No, not that I remember.
How about now?
No.
All right. Have you ever thought about talking to a doctor about this?
No.
You should. It can affect your health. I mean, you're only sleeping a couple hours a night. Sam, this is a very common thing. You're not the first person to have this. It's kind of unusual at your age.
Yeah.
It's probably related to depression or something like that, but there are other medical conditions that can be associated with, too, and it needs to be evaluated. It could be even something like your thyroid condition. So, look, Sam, talk to your doctor about this. It is really dangerous not to. And if your parents know you're having this trouble?
Not yet.
You got to tell them, okay?
Yeah, tell them.
Please tell them. How long has this been going on for?
For, like, 2 months.
Yeah, please tell them, all right?
All right.
All right, kiddo. Take care. Jonathan Davis, Korn. When did you say the new album's coming out? Or maybe?
Don't know yet.
You don't know yet. Is that something you guys are working on? Or?
Yeah, we're working on it now. So between touring and everything.
I was going to say, when? The touring and your ITP?
Yeah, I got, you know, ITP ain't going to get me down. Cool.
No, I'm just saying. You've been busy with that for a little while.
I've been busy.
So.
But, yeah, I don't know. Next year maybe sometime.
Cool. All right, that's Jonathan Davis. Give us a call at 1-800-LOVE-191. What else are we going to hear from you guys? We hear another Korn song coming up next hour?
Yeah, well, I think we're going to do Coming Undone.
Coming Undone, that'll be next hour. In the meantime, give us a call here. We'll be right back after this. That's right, it's Loveline. Our phone number is 1-800-LOVE-191. Jonathan Davis from Korn in here tonight. How many people you think know about your history as a mortician? Is that a common thing to know?
Yeah.
You talk about it a lot?
Yeah, and everyone was always tripped out that I did that.
How many years did you do that for?
The mortician thing was 2 years.
Oh, you only did, but you trained for a lot longer than that, right?
Well, I went to college for a year, and then, but before that, the thing I trained most for was when I was working as an autopsy assistant for the coroner's office.
And that's how you got interested in the mortician work?
And then after I got done with mortician
work, how'd you get the job as the autopsy?
High school was a part of the RLP program there.
RLP?
Regional Occupation Program.
Oh, my.
They had that open. And
that's got to be tough as a high school age kid to take whatever he's
I was 17. But I had to go through three different interviews and psychologically exam, all that kind of stuff.
They screwed that all up.
And they since stopped doing it after I got all jacked up.
Oh, is that right?
I think they stopped it. Well, there's no coroner there now anymore. It's the sheriff coroner.
I know you must have been asked this question a million times, but is there some extraordinary stuff you had to see?
Yeah, dude, stuff I would not want anyone to ever see.
Like what?
11-month-old child being raped and that killing them. It was mostly kids. The kids are what got me. It wasn't any adults. Adults, you know, you left your life. It's fine. I mean, there's some tragic stuff, you know, people in car accidents, stuff like that, but it was the kids.
Mm.
I found an 8-ball of coke in a 5-year-old's stomach contents.
Oh, my God.
I found all kinds of stuff that would just really screw in my head.
Huh.
So, yeah, it was depressing. Very depressing.
Did you develop sort of interest in what motivates people to do stuff like that?
Yeah, totally.
From then on?
From then on.
Are you still interested in that?
Not really. It's just I think it's part of my life. I don't, you know, I wasn't bad. I mean, at the time when I was doing it, I really, really enjoyed what I do. It was so interesting sitting there and watching the doctor work, and he'd show me things. If it was a slow day, he'd show me how to take someone's spleen out, or
what a coincidence.
Yeah, coincidence, yeah.
Or Jonathan may get his spleen out for his ITP. Just let's recap that. He has an immune disorder, just came up last month while I was in England. It's called immune thrombocytopenia purpura, where your platelets, where the clotting factors in your blood get suppressed, and you start bleeding spontaneously. In his case, he was bleeding out his butt. Of course, that's the average usual thing, nose, butt, mouth, that's where it starts to happen. Yeah. And you saw somebody take a spleen out.
Yeah, so I learned how to do that, take appendix out. We did those up. You know, it was on those kind of days where we were slow, and then days it was, like, packed, and we'd just, you know, be turning them out. But it was always the kids that really bugged me.
And then you started getting some panic attacks then, or was that?
That was the dreams.
Dreams, that's right. Night terrors, that kind of thing.
Night terrors.
And
I autopsied, I posted kids, I posted babies, posted, you know, all these. It just really missed me. I mean, everything else was fine. I could have totally done it if I was sticking with adults, but kind of a little newborn baby that has SIDS or something like that, that really messed with my head.
How did you know you needed to get help with the symptoms you were having?
Because of the dreams.
But, I mean, just a couple nights of that, and you thought, oh, my God, I can't tolerate this?
I can't handle this no more.
Even just a few days of it? Or was it, like, months of it?
No, it was months of it before I went, yeah.
Yeah, and then how'd they treat you?
The rapid eye movement.
Why don't you describe that a little bit for people in case they didn't hear the last conversation you guys and I had about it. That's all right.
I'm sorry.
No, don't worry.
Doctor, it's way how you deal with traumas. Doctor brings up the trauma, per se. You watch this Knight Rider light.
Yeah, this thing that goes back and forth.
It's like Kit Car.
Yeah.
It goes back and forth. And I guess it puts your brain in a start of, like, when you're sleeping, you're in REM sleep. It's that kind of thing. So whenever you get a trauma, your brain can't...
It locks it out.
It locks it out. It can't file it away, and it...
You can't integrate it.
Yeah, it keeps coming back, and the trauma, you relive it over and over again.
Yeah.
And in this state, when your eyes are moving back and forth, it can file it away, and you can deal with it. And that, and antidepressants, and I'm good to go, man.
and then corn,
definitely corn. That's why I'm here today.
All right, let's go to some calls. This is TJ. What's up, TJ?
Oh, what's up, man? I just need some advice. My girlfriend thinks she's pregnant, and we're like, she's 17, and like, I'm turning 18 soon, and I don't know, like, what to do, man. I mean, we're both in school, and we both want to go to college and all that good shit. I don't know.
Hey, TJ, hey. God. Hey, listen, anyone who is calling in who's sitting on hold, F word, S word, C word, can't use those things on radio. All right, let's get back to TJ. TJ, come on. Concentrate. No S words or F words.
All right, man. Sorry.
All right. Go. So what's happening with you and your girlfriend?
All right, yeah. She thinks she's pregnant. We're both 18. We want to go through school. Like, want to finish high school, and we want to go to college. And I just don't know what to do, man. I need advice. she thinks she's pregnant, and I don't know what to do.
Well, first you got to get a test to see if she really is pregnant.
Yeah. There's no question here. Yes, you go to Planned Parenthood, you go to pregnancy, you know, sort of family planning, and you go over the choices. And by the way, most of the choice is going to be in her hands, not yours. But certainly you should be supportive there with her, and she'll decide what she wants to do, and that's what's going to happen.
Exactly.
Planned Parenthood is fine. There are many other family planning organizations you can check out. But ultimately, it is going to be her decision. Chris?
Yes, hello?
What's happening there?
My question is, sometimes, like, during sexual intercourse,
mm-hmm.
I'll be feeling, like, really lightheaded, and, like, I'll start feeling nauseous, and I was just wanting to know, you know, if it's normal or not.
Well, you're 15.
Yes.
It's a little bit young to be having sex already at 15, isn't it? Oh, finally the pizza's here. Yes. Jonathan, dude.
I need to nourish my body right now. But, 15... Dude, that's normal these days, honestly.
Well, but still, okay, so you're lightheaded and nauseated. I mean, is it anxiety-provoking for you? Are you nervous about it?
No, I'm not really nervous about it. It's just, you know, I mean, I don't know. For some reason, it's like I'll feel, like, really lightheaded, and I'll start getting nauseous.
Yeah, I understand. You've said that, like, three times.
I know, but it's only when I'm on top.
Is it because I don't know how to say it. Are you breathing heavy?
Right, you're hyperventilating.
Hyperventilating?
No.
Hmm.
Well, Chris, You know, you're not exactly what we call a descriptive guy. You know, you're not painting us a beautiful picture for us to pull from.
He wants to puke, or he's nauseous. And
whatever it is, I suspect it's just you're too young to be doing this. You're nervous, and let's pass the pizza over here, Jonathan.
Here you go, bro.
You get the right kind? Yeah, that's the right stuff.
That's what you want.
Just,
to look
at. Yeah. All right, let's talk to Sandra. What's happening, Sandra?
Oh, hi, Drew.
What's
I'm a
up
big
there?
Fan.
Thank you.
But my question is for John. I was wondering if you had ever released the soundtrack to Queen of the Damned, because I know when you guys released it, it was a bunch of different artists doing the vocals.
Mm-hmm.
But I was wondering if you guys ever released a copy with you doing the vocals.
No. The only time you can get that is you got to buy the DVD and the full versions of the song. There was three videos that were done for that movie, and the full version of those three songs are on that video. So that's the only way you can hear it.
Oh, okay.
Sorry, you know how labels are.
Is that it?
Yeah.
All right, then. Uh-huh. Thanks for call. This is Nikki with an eternal question. What's that?
Hi. I have a question. My boyfriend, he doesn't really show me a lot of affection, meaning, like, he's kind of like a cat. Like, he shows me affection in the morning, and then, like, in the afternoon, it'll just be, like, us two, and we'll be in public, like, not even in front of his friends or anything, and, like, he won't show me, like, much affection, and when I call him on it, like, we fight about it. Hmm. So, like, how do I, like, show him that, like, I care without him, like, getting into a huge fight?
What does he say? What's his reason when you call him on it?
Like, he's like, oh, God, Nikki, like, why do you always have to, like, touch me, like, blah, 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 and I'm like, I'm not. I'm just trying to hold your hand and just, like, you know, like, just show some love, you know? Because I know, like, men, like, when it's in front of the friends, you know, they like to, like, pretend like they're all, like, manly and everything. and they're, like, you know, we'll be just, like, hanging out with his friends. And then, you know, he'll sit next to me, but, like, he won't really, like, put his arm around me or anything.
He just
want to
look like a punk.
It wouldn't be cool to actually be lovey-dovey with a little girl.
Man.
Yeah, like, I understand, like, the whole front, like, you know, in front of the friends, like, he's like, oh, yeah, I understand, like, I have a girl, she's, like, right here, but, like, I don't need to show it type of thing. And, like, I love him a lot, and I just want to know, like, how he could show more affection to me.
How old is he?
He's 21.
Hmm. What do you think?
My experience on this, I've been with really affectionate people, and I've been with not affectionate people. And there's no way of changing them. There's some people are affectionate, some people aren't. And there's no way you're going to make him be affectionate because...
Right, at least you got the morning. At least you got the morning out there.
No, you got morning.
No, really.
I swear.
Well, just appreciate that, or learn to develop that out a little bit. Maybe extend it a little bit.
Yeah.
You can't change people how they are. And if he's not really affectionate...
I know that.
Take it in the morning.
Right, I know.
Sounds
like,
jacked up.
Like, he's but, like all lovey-dovey in the morning, and then, like, at night, and then, like, during the day, he's like, okay.
Is it the same thing in terms of his sexual interest as well?
Oh, no. He's, like, all into the, like, when he... It's so... When he wants it, he's all, like...
There's your affection.
Like, yeah, you can get affection if you want it then.
Yeah. Exactly. Like, it's like... Right before, like, when we're going to my house, then he's all like, oh, hey, you know, I love you, blah, blah, blah. And then, like, he starts getting, like, all, like, lovey-dovey. But it's just, like, during the day, it's like, hello, if you're not going to show me, like, love, then what makes you think you're going to get any tonight?
He's just being a dude.
Right, it's hard for guys.
It's just
being
a dude.
Yeah, they're not skilled at expressing these kinds of things.
I know.
I'm sorry, he's a dude, and you're just going to have to deal with a dude.
That about sums it up.
Sums it up.
All right, this is Jennifer. What's up, Jennifer?
Hi.
Hey.
I live in L.A. I'm from Appleton, Wisconsin, originally. I'm just going to college down here. I live 2 blocks from the Staples Center. It's kind of a big change for me, although I've lived in Savannah, Georgia for a year, gone to college there, used to work on a horse ranch in Colorado. You know, it's not like moving is a big change for me, and I lived in the O.C. for the first term or the first year that I had moved here. And since I've been in L.A., I've actually had to change my medications and everything. I've had ADD since I was very little, so I'm treated for that, and I also have depression, so I'm treated for that. But I've had to also totally change another prescription. I've never had anxiety this high living in a city.
Could it be the schoolwork, too?
Not really. It's not hard at all for me. I go to to the Fashion Institute.
Right.
And I enjoy it because I love being, I'm very creative and stuff, but I guess my question is just, how large of an impact can that have on somebody? I mean, is that, you know, do you find that abnormal or...
That you're more anxious living in a city?
Yeah, and it's not just like I haven't lived in a city before, because I have. And
I'd be wondering if there's something else going on that's making you that way. You know, like you're getting more depressed or whatever, maybe. I don't know, something else.
Yeah, nothing really out of the ordinary that I could possibly think of or that's been different, but...
And you're seeing a psychiatrist?
Mm-hmm.
You're seeing a psychiatrist out here?
Not out here. I see him. I go home every few months, and I see mine because I prefer that.
All right. Jennifer, all you can really do is focus on self-care. I mean, really exercise right, listen to some music, make sure you've got adequate time, because the pace is higher here. People do complain when they come to this part of the country that things are moving along faster, and that, of course, can add to anxiety, naturally enough. But the fact that it's intense enough to change your medication, it makes me wonder if you're perhaps kind of getting depressed, too. James.
Yes, hi.
What's up there? You want Jonathan Davis from Corn.
Oh, hi. How's it going? I just talk about my problem now?
Yeah, it'll be good.
Okay, sorry. Actually, it was only a couple years ago. I was extremely sexually experimental. It had to do with, you know, growing up not feeling loved and that sort of thing. So I would, like, try to find love through sex, and I experimented a lot and did a lot of things. And then recently I realized that sex, it wasn't important. What I really needed to find was a real relationship. So I started dating somebody that I really care about, and she's a virgin and she wants to wait till marriage, and she's been curious about my past, and I don't want to lie to her or omit the truth or anything like that, but I also don't want to scare her off because I've done quite a few interesting things.
Like what?
Experimented with polyamory, BDSM.
What does that mean, polyamory?
It's where you're orgies? In a relationship where you have multiple partners that know about each other, and sort of it's like a communal sexual relationship. It's kind of weird.
Polygamy.
Yeah, sorts. And BDSM?
Yeah.
Okay. You been with lots of people?
If I had to count, I'd say in my entire sexual history, it's been about 12 people, so that's...
Okay.
It's more than a few,
again,
less than a lot.
I'll point to a moment to bring out, there is a new wart virus vaccine that will prevent cervical cancer. If you are anybody who's going to be with James, I would suggest they get that vaccine just in case.
HPV, baby.
Yeah, HPV vaccine. Then no need to get cervical cancer anymore.
Yeah.
All right. So,
that's amazing.
I don't know. You don't lie to her, I'll tell you that.
And, yeah,
I wouldn't want to be the one making the decision. It's your decision because I don't know how she's going to react to it. It may be okay. It may not be.
Mm-hmm.
What do you think, Jonathan?
I think if you got to tell her.
Yeah.
You go through your whole life, and if she marries you and this comes out and she doesn't know.
Yeah.
It'll be an issue.
It'll be an issue, man.
Yeah, I understand that. It's just, you know, how do you sort of bring this stuff up?
Well, if you're getting married and you go, listen, okay, I got to get this off my chest. If you want to marry me, you're going to need to know everything about me.
Maybe not wait until that moment when you're discussing the wedding date.
But don't talk about the wedding date. I'm just saying, get with her and say, hey,
when you start talking about where the relationship's going, how you feel about each other, that's the moment.
Yeah, okay.
All right?
Yeah.
All right.
All righty. Good luck, James. Ooh, that's a tough one.
Ooh, boy, I wouldn't be in your shoes.
Yeah, Tran.
Hello?
Here we are.
Okay, first of all, Dr. Drew, I love you so much. You know everything.
It's very kind.
Okay.
And I don't know everything.
Yeah. Just about.
What's happening there?
Okay, I have a legal question. I'm a junior in college, and for the past few months, I've been really low on cash. And so, about...
A lot of cat food you're spending.
What?
Don't I hear a cat meowing back there?
Oh, yeah, that's my cat. Yeah, so, anyway. So, lately... about a week ago, I decided to resort to prostitution just one time. And, okay, so I picked up this guy at a bar, and he drove me to his house. And basically, as soon as I got into his apartment, he just handed me these handcuffs. And so I handcuffed him to the headboard, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And he was really vulnerable, and then I kind of blindfolded him. And
after that, I was just kind of teasing him, but I realized what situation he was in, and he had already given me $200. And so basically, I just left him.
Good girl.
Yeah, like...
Awesome.
Well done.
Yeah.
It's almost like out of a movie. Just well executed, well done, perfect, right.
And I was just wondering legally who was in the wrong. Because, prostitution is illegal, but...
Right. He solicited a prostitute and you stole.
Yeah.
So right. I think that cancels it both out.
I think you're even. You're even.
Even.
You're both wrong. I mean, each of you were guilty of a crime, but against people who are already committing crimes. I wonder if is there some sort of precedent for that? Like if you're robbing a bank and somebody, there is precedent for that. I mean, like when those guys robbed the bank and the police killed them, and the mom sued the police for killing them, basically.
Oh, yeah.
And so, you know, the people can take action against these things. But I just say call it a draw. He's not going to come looking for you, is he?
No.
Does he have any way of finding you?
No, I didn't give him any information.
Who was more wrong? Anybody have a guess on that?
More wrong?
Who was more wrong? She for stealing or he for...
Her for stealing.
Really?
Hey, prostitution's legal almost everywhere else in the world.
Really?
Yes. I go all over the world and prostitution is legal. It's the oldest profession, man. But, I don't know.
Oh, and also, I love corn. Yay.
Oh, I love you too.
You're awesome.
Interesting story, Trent. Why are you so low on cash that you in college you can't
you don't need to be
feed yourself?
That.
Yeah.
I'm using a lot of loans, but I don't know. Just lately, it's been really hard.
Why?
I don't know. Just getting.
I know you don't buy a lot of shoes or anything. Do your purses?
yeah.
Like, are you compulsively spending money?
What?
Are you compulsively spending money?
Not. I don't think so. I mean, no.
You're spending to the point that you're stretching into financial difficulty?
Yeah, and my parents aren't really helping me out at all.
Well, that's a problem.
Yeah.
I mean, I are you addicted to anything?
No, I've never done drugs.
All right, well, don't. Be careful. I worry about what's going on here. You sound like you already get a little sort of shopping. It's called Oniomania. I've got a new show coming out on Tuesday at 10, everybody, on Discovery Health Channel, and we did a whole thing on behavioral compulsions, and this is called Oniomania, where they spend compulsively to the point where they get themselves into trouble, and if this is now to the point where you're contemplating prostitution and you're stealing, that's a problem, Tran.
Yeah.
You know?
Mm-hmm.
I would look into this. If you can't stop it, I mean, there are 12-step programs out there. You're in college. Go to the therapist there. They have mental health services in every college, and they're free, designed specifically for your age.
Okay.
All right?
All right.
Take a look at that.
Thank you.
Why don't we hear a corn song?
Yeah.
Yeah. Which one should we hear?
Coming Undone.
Coming Undone. Coming undone, that's Korn. Jonathan Davis in here tonight. The phone number is 1-800-LOVE-191. Give us a call while we're sitting here eating pizza during the break.
Yeah.
We did demolish that thing. You and I.
That was good.
It was good. It still is good. We got to see if we can stop now. I think we're going to finish it, that's all. Okay, give us a call. We'll be right back after this. Well, I'm disgusted. Jonathan and I are making ourselves sick. We're not making ourselves sick. We just are behaving in a sick fashion. We just ate a medium-sized pizza together during that last segment. And now I want you to describe what's going on in here.
I'm eating some cupcakes. Somebody, some sprinkles.
Yeah, somebody, there's a, in Los Angeles, Beverly Hills, there's a cupcake shop called Sprinkles that make these crazy designer cupcakes. And they're not like...
These ain't like normal cupcakes.
No, and they're not like super elaborate. They're just crazy good. And Jonathan announced that it's sick and then devoured a couple of them. Here we are.
Man.
You got to try this. Try this banana one. It's just ridiculous. Oh, ridiculous.
All right,
just cut yourself a piece. All right, it's 1-800-LOVE-191. That's Jonathan Davis from Korn. They'll be out on the Family Values Tour August 19th at the Hyundai Pavilion. FamilyValuesLive.com if you want to see the schedule. They're leaving out on Tuesday, right?
I leave on Tuesday. First show's the 29th.
Okay, and www.korn.com. Try that thing. It's crazy. It's ridiculous. All right, let's...
God.
I don't know when to stop. Let's talk to Paul. Paul's 13. What's up, Paul? Yeah, you got to finish.
Hello?
Hey, Paul, what's happening?
I had a question about masturbation.
Mm-hmm.
I don't really know how to explain it. When I masturbate, this, like, waxy thing comes out.
In the semen?
Yeah. Like, after I masturbate, like, with the semen, but it comes out after.
Like tapioca pudding, kind of.
No, it's like earwax almost. It's really thick.
But it's mixed in with the semen.
I go, and then it comes out after. Not like it's still like with the flow, I guess.
Yeah, it's mixed in with the semen. It's not like you're urinating and something. That's not uncommon. Little gelatinous, little jelly-like things come out.
A bunch, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, that's not so uncommon. Some guys have that.
Is there any way? It's freaking me out. I don't know what to do. Like,
I don't think it's necessarily abnormal. If you have a question, you can go see your doctor or see a urologist. But guys have a consistency that can look kind of like tapioca pudding. Not to screw up your cupcake that you were enjoying two seconds ago.
Great.
But yeah, there can be sort of little hard little nodules in there, and that's not uncommon. It doesn't necessarily mean anything at all. This is John.
Yeah.
What's up, John?
Not much, you?
We're good.
Good?
That is a satellite hit we just got. That's okay. No one else heard that except you and me.
I have a question.
Yeah, that's good. Go ahead.
I'm going to summer school right now, and I met this guy named Sean, and he's all cool until, like, a couple of weeks back. You know, he's, like, been, like, saying stuff to me, and I've been saying stuff back. And he's been reacting like he's been punching me and all that stuff, you know. I don't know what to do because he's 16, I'm only 15. He's going to turn 17 soon. And I don't know what to do because he's older than me. He has, like, more friends than I do. And he could, like, take over advantage. And do you have any ideas?
Can you just stay away from this guy? Sounds like an idiot.
Yeah. Well, I mean, you know, he's trying to, like, make me smoke weed and all that. I'm like, no, I'm all right.
John, just get it. In 5 years, you'll look back at this and go, oh, why did I waste 5 minutes? I called a radio show thinking about that idiot. Just stay away from him. Find a new group of friends. I know it's alluring, and he's a big man on campus right now. He's an idiot. The way he's treating you is not okay. What he wants you to do is not okay. It's not for you. Go find a new group of friends. Really, go. And you're in summer school. I mean, go to new... See, it's just summer school. You'll have no group of friends when you get back to school in the fall. Brian.
Hey, guys. Thanks for taking my call.
No problem. What's up?
I have an autoimmune disease, and I take immunosuppressive medication to stay in remission.
Jonathan can share your pain in that.
I do, too.
Yeah.
Bro.
So it's pirenethol, or Imuran, basically.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And I met a girl who has herpes simplex 1 in the genital area, and you know, I decided that it was just too risky, especially for me, because I'm immunosuppressed, and I've dated a lot of girls since, and I had a real connection with this girl, and I just cannot get her out of my head.
Wow.
And I'm just, we didn't do anything to put me at risk, but I'm just wondering if there's any possible way that I could justify to myself to give it another shot.
What's your underlying condition?
Crohn's disease.
Has it been active at all lately?
No. I had about 15 inches of my small intestine taken out when I was in college a few years back, and I had an ileostomy, and then the ileostomy got reversed. So I've been through a lot of...
They bring the bowel to the surface and have a bag. Hey,
yeah.
Nice.
So that was not a good time. But, you know, it's just... It sounds crazy to people outside of the situation because there's so many women out there, but, you know, it just pisses me off because I'd love to get the chance to see where this would have gone, but...
You still have contact with her? You still get her?
No, it's been a while. It's been
so
a
while. So what are you worrying about? If you can't even reach her, forget it.
Well, I mean, I could still get a hold of her probably if I wanted to. I'm just wondering if there was anything I could have done to, you know, to... I probably made the right call, I'm guessing, but I'm just trying to... I mean,
you made the safest call. I don't know if it's the right call.
You can't mitigate the risk.
You can mitigate the risk. You can't eliminate the risk. You could wear a condom, obviously. She could take antiviral medication like Zovirax or Famvir or something. And that's it. That's what you can do. And the risk could be kind of not that great, frankly.
But... She could still shed 365 days a year.
Yes, Brian.
Active, even if she's taking a Cyclovir, right?
Yes, that's true. You cannot eliminate the risk. Mm-hmm. That's right. And if that's the route you want to take, great. If you want to try to, you know, maybe push the limits a little bit, talk to your doctor about what you're about to do and get her on something and see where it goes.
Yeah. Brian,
you know all about it. You know the risk. You've made your choice, and you know, don't obsess about it. If you can't get it out of your mind, go meet her again and see what you want to do. Amber.
Hey, Dr. Drew.
What's happening?
How are you?
We're good.
Good. Listen, the reason I'm calling is I've been with this person for a long time, and we have quite a history together, and he has a serious, serious anger problem, like really, really bad. And over the last year, it's gotten really bad to where he has these moments of like complete wrath and rage. And it's happening a lot. And he's starting to get like really, really abusive. And he is such a smart person, and he's such an amazing man. And I just cannot give up on him. And we went to the doctor.
That's what people said about Ted Bundy.
Mm-hmm.
I totally understand, guys, and I'm not being naive and being like I'm an abused woman and I got to just get out, and I'm not being like that. I'm just trying to be rational about the situation and not give up on him because we have kids.
Oh.
Anyway,
yeah.
We went to the doctor, and he told the doctor how he gets and how, you know, he goes off on me. I'm the closest person in his life, and I know he loves me, and he goes crazy and calls me all these names and talks about all these personal things that happened in my past and tries to hurt me so bad, and I literally won't be doing anything to him. I'll just be saying, John, please stop. I know you don't want to do this. And then afterwards, he'll cry and he'll try to make things better. And he's like, Amber, I when I'm doing this, he's like, I just can't stop. He's like, I just can't stop doing it. I don't know what to do. And so we went to the doctor, and the doctor put him on Zoloft. But I think he needs to be on, like, an antipsychotic med. I think that he needs...
I think you're right. He needs some Seroquel.
Seriously, like, I don't think Zoloft is... I mean, that's for people that are depressed.
He did not see a psychiatrist. He really needs to see a psychiatrist and be properly diagnosed.
He just saw his MD.
No, not okay. He needs to see somebody with more expertise. Okay. He could be manic. There's lots of different things that can cause this.
And also, he's got a problem with crystal meth. I mean, I don't know too much about it. I don't do it. But I know that I see the effects that it has on him.
Right.
And, like,
all
when
right.
he first...
Amber.
It, it'll, like,
Amber.
What, hun?
Run. Get out of there. Now you're painting a totally different picture. People that are on methamphetamine get paranoid. The paranoias are always focused on the people close to them, and they get violent, severely violent.
He almost doesn't like
He only does it once every couple months.
Amber, I doubt it.
He gets violent.
That's all you know about is once every couple months.
No, he called me Columbo. I know when he's doing it. Believe me, I know. I can tell right away.
How much pot is he smoking?
He's on marijuana maintenance, I know.
Okay, that also contributes to this. And the reason they get onto the amphetamines, the marijuana stops working, they start getting depressed, getting panicked from that, irritability is profound.
Speed levels him out, like when he first
Amber,
does it, he's normal.
Amber, okay, you know everything. You know everything.
No, I don't.
I treat people like him all day long. That's what I do in my professional life.
I know, that's why I called you.
They get very sick and violent. This is going to be, if he does not have his addiction treated, pot and methamphetamine, this is going to be you're going to read about this in the paper, basically.
I know. So that's what I told him last night when it was happening. I'm like, John, someone's going to get really, really
high. You need to go to Al-Anon. You're all this business about not losing, you know, I'm not going to give up. But that's all such a load of crap. He's got you locked in here. He's got you right where he wants you. He's doing drugs. You're busy codependently focused on him and keeping him drugged and keeping him in his disease. This is a mess. Go to Al-Anon, get a sponsor. That's your only move. It's the only thing you can do. And, yes, he does need to be on something. What's that?
My children love him so much. And they
Amber?
He's a good dad.
Okay, well, then don't do anything. That's fine.
No, I am. I will go to Al-Anon. Can I help him, though, with his addiction? Can we go to, if he's willing to go to meetings and get a sponsor himself?
Yes, you can after you're well on in Al-Anon working with your sponsor. And, yes, he probably does need some more medication, but none of it will work until he's off the pot and the speed. None of it. Okay.
So do you think I should just get him out of the house until he's sober for a few months and then...
That's something you can do. You can certainly put your foot down, and that will increase the probability he'll do something healthy about this. And God only knows what will happen here with the kids and everything. It's just really a bad situation. Anything, Jonathan, you have to say?
Bad stuff, man.
The speed ruins relationships. It
ruins everything.
Yeah, it does.
That drug's worse than heroin.
Well, it doesn't cause quite as bad an addictive disease in terms of people dying of it. But it screws up people's lives worse than anything. It screws up their brain worse than anything else, too. Heroin doesn't hurt your brain at all. Mm-mm. It's harmless. It's an opiate. Opiates don't hurt you. It causes horrible addiction, but it doesn't hurt the brain. Amphetamine progressively damages brain. So, Jesse.
Yes.
What's
Thank
going
you
on there?
Okay, well, my boss propositioned me, and I feel like he's happily married. I don't think he wants anything else, and I feel sorry for him because he's in a relationship where he's not having sex, and I feel like I can provide that in a non-threatening way.
How kind of you, Jesse, to really provide that service for him. And his wife is such a bitch.
His wife is refusing it. Okay.
She's such a bitch. She really is. And you're there to provide that necessary service. Good for you. What a kind woman you are, Jesse.
I'm thinking that I'm going to get off on it and maybe make some money on the side. So I don't know. Like, if he's going to go off with a prostitute no matter what, wouldn't it be, like, a little bit nicer for my pocketbook if I can benefit from it?
Wow. We have got some effed up callers tonight.
It's been a really good night.
Yeah.
I feel like I'm a pretty sane person, too. Like, I don't feel like I'm demented. I have a great job, you know.
What do you do?
So, I mean, I just feel
What
like
do you do?
I do have a great job.
What do you do?
Oh, I thought you said. I take care of children. I'm a family advocate. So I kind of diagnose kids that are having problems. I go into the situation. I see what's going on, and I try to find solutions and provide them with resources to fix it.
How would your employer feel about you accepting money for sex?
How would my employer? Mm-hmm. This is one of my clients, actually.
Okay, so Jesse, totally out of line. You not only would lose your job, I'm worried you'd be in a criminal situation.
Really?
Jesse, you got to be kidding me. Something is very wrong with your judgment.
Okay,
Jesse, your boundaries are off. Just listen for a second, will you? Your boundaries are really off. I don't know what happened in your family where you have absolutely zero boundaries and you see this as an okay thing to do. Or were you sexually abused yourself or something?
No, I have, like, completely normal background. What I see is, like, okay, I work with this family, and they have a really great relationship except for they have different sex.
No, you're living on some...
And he wants to have sex. I don't, no, like, I swear, nothing, my parents are so wholesome and straight-laced, no drugs,
I
don't even drink alcohol.
Something very wrong here, though.
Normal.
Well, something's wrong, because, look, let's say you had a boyfriend. How about that boyfriend, and you guys had a mismatch in your sexual drives, and your boyfriend just said, you know what, I love you, but yeah, I just can't deal with this twice a week thing. I got to have it three times a week. So I'll see you later. I'm going out with a girl tonight and we're going to have sex. So anyway.
I think that would be like, I think the normal thing would be to break up and end your relationship and go find somebody who you are suitably, you know, like more suited for. But then I
think about how you would feel about that.
Right.
And now it's your husband doing that. Are you kidding me? And he's doing it with the woman that came in to serve your family from family services. That's god-awful.
That's horrible.
That's god-awful.
That is horrible.
Right. Oh, my God, this is
that
so
is god-awful. I'm hanging up on you. You're not even listening, for crying out loud. You should hear yourself. Oh, my God. If something was not happening in your family of origin, you have a brain tumor. You got to get a CAT scan.
Oh, my God. That was free. Drew's going off tonight.
I am going off.
Wow.
I'll call it.
You know, I never seen you go off like that before,
I did,
dude.
That one got
that
me.
That scared me.
What I can't stand is when professionals, whether it's a teacher or a doctor or a policeman, when professionals violate boundaries, the people that they're
trying to help,
they're sort of entrusted to help, and they violate boundaries, and her judgment is all screwed up. I mean, come on.
Boy.
That is bad times. And she can't even empathize with how the wife or the guy, what's going on with this guy.
And she's supposed to go in there and help the kids, right?
Yes.
Help the kids.
Help
the family. Help the family.
Help the family. Yeah, she's going to give the husband a blowjob to help the family.
To help the family.
Awesome. Awesome. Wow. Way to go, Jesse. Great advice. And take some money while you're at it.
And get some money on the side. Increase my pocketbook.
Yeah, I was doing, one thing that got me stirred up, I was doing Tom Green's, I did Tom Green's webcast at TomGreen.com. You can, I think it's sitting there, you can go watch it anytime.
Check it out.
We were going off on all kinds of stuff, so.
I know how to push your buttons, homie.
I know, yeah, boundary violations get me. 1-800-LOVE-191, we'll be right back. That's right, it's Loveline, 1-800-LOVE-191. We're picking up a little steam here now, finally. You guys are calling with annoying questions that are P.O.ing me. Jackie, what's up?
Hi. First of all, I just want to say I've had a crush on Jonathan for a long time.
Well, right
but,
on.
Yeah.
He likes that.
Cool.
Yeah. Well, okay, I've been living with my boyfriend, or I just moved in with him, actually. We've been together for a couple years now, and our sex has always been great, but up until now, he's considered it boring and more routine. And he wants to involve another woman. He doesn't really want to be so involved. He wants to watch me interact with another female. And I'm just not quite comfortable with that idea quite yet. I don't know if I think it's for ulterior motives.
What do you mean ulterior? Well, like what? What would his motives be?
Like maybe he just wants to see another woman. You know, just maybe.
Ah.
Or maybe I don't turn him on sexually anymore.
I'm trying to think what he might be thinking. What has he told you?
Well, he just tells me he wants something different. I mean, there's been times where I'm getting into the mood and, you know, I'm really getting into it and he just looks at me and he's like, you know, I just want something different. He says he doesn't want to be with another woman, but...
How old is he?
He's 26.
Oh, 26-year-old. Here's what I Man, he started dating you when you were 18?
Yes.
And he was 24. This is what I'd make of this. Did he have girlfriends before this?
Oh, yeah, plenty.
Plenty of girlfriends. Uh-huh. It sounds like someone who's in a relationship doesn't know how to get out, doesn't know when it's over. And when young people don't come to the end of the relationship, they will string it out for years and make all kinds of reasons and rationalize it. No, I love you, I'm just not in love with you. Or I love being with you, but I need something a little more. Oh, that's all nonsense. It's just, look, it's over. At an older time, you know, as you age, you wouldn't let these relationships go another 5 minutes when you get to that point. I just think it's kind of over. That's what it sounds like to me.
Really?
Yeah, that's what it sounds like.
He says he wants to continue our relationship. It's just, you know, when we have sex, I just feel like it's more of a chore to him. Like, he feels bad. And, you know, I don't know.
Jonathan, what do you think? It just does not sound like a good thing to me.
No.
Yeah. My main question was, though, like, should I go ahead and experiment with this and see if...
Not if you don't want
to. You don't want to do this.
He's
luring you into something you don't want to do. It's not going to do anything for the relationship except destroy it faster. No. Yeah. But maybe it would be the final sort of nail in the coffin. Maybe it'll be a good thing to get you guys to move. But I don't know why you guys are so stuck that you can't kind of come to terms with the fact this thing seems to be wrapping up.
Well,
I hope that's not it, because that's...
Well, you want to keep going in your life like this? This isn't gonna, it's not magically he's going to be better. He's going to get worse, get more this way.
Yeah.
You want a relationship that where the guy treats you like that?
No.
No, that's awful. That's just, it's just not working.
Yeah.
And this guy's kind of a wimp, too. He's not stepping up. He's waiting for you to say, hey, let's just forget it. I'm going to let you go. Free and clear. I'm not mad. Just go. Then he'll go. But he doesn't know. What?
Sorry. Yes. I also kind of just think maybe he feels like I'm secure because we just moved here. He started a new job, and I just found a job. And, like, I'm kind of here helping him because he couldn't make it here on his own. So I just kind of think maybe...
Why couldn't he make it on its own?
Because, I don't know, rent's here expensive right now, and he thinks, you know, I need to help him out, you know, but I just think maybe...
So he's mooching off you on top of that. No wonder. Oh, come on, Jackie, come on.
There you go right there.
That's why he's hanging out.
Mm-hmm.
Don't, Jackie, don't do this yourself. I can't stand it. This is Brooke.
Hi. I had a three-way with my sister and her boyfriend.
What?
Oi.
And I was, like, completely drunk. I'm one of those people that black out when I drink.
Oh, so you didn't know you were doing it.
Yeah, I didn't know at all. And it's horrible because now I have this horrible reputation with, like, all my friends. And I don't know what to do about it.
How old is your sister?
20.
What does she think about this?
She's drunk, too.
Wow.
You have alcoholism in your family?
Yeah, alcoholism and drugs and stuff.
Why don't you take a good look at what's going on with your drug and alcohol use and chalk this up to part of the disease and go get, use it as motivation to go get sober.
Yeah, I don't know. Should I go to, like, meetings or something?
Yes, go to some AA meetings. You know, it's 17, it's hard.
Yeah.
It's just, you know, that's about, maybe go get a evaluation by a therapist or psychiatrist. That's about all you can do, though, Brooke. This is, rather than beating yourself up for this horrible behavior, go do something about it. I mean, I hope it's taking the point where you're disgusted or frightened enough to really make a change. If you're not, things are going to get worse. So I just hope you will call AA, have them take you to a meeting, raise your hand, say you need a sponsor, and start working the steps and see if that helps out. If not, see a psychologist. Yes?
Yes.
Family Values Tour, right? FamilyValuesLive.com. You can find out where they're going to be. They're going to be up on August 19th at the Hyundai Pavilion here in Southern California. Are you guys down in San Diego as well, or is that the... Southern California parents.
I think are we in San Diego? I think we are.
And the stripper poles are going to be at all the events?
I hope so.
All right, that's Jonathan Davis. I'm Dr. Drew. We're going to take a little break. We'll be right back. And about does it for Love Line. Jonathan, thanks for coming in.
Thanks for having me once again.
In the heels of your illness, ITP.
Yes.
And sharing your stories. I love your stories. They're very rich life experiences. And
I've had a great, great life.
And you're not afraid to talk about it. I appreciate that.
No, not at all, man.
And the callers, thank you for calling in tonight as well. Up next week, Mike Patton. You know him from My Faith No More, and now from Peeping Tom, Jurassic 5, Everclear. Lots of guests. I'm going to be in New York promoting this Discovery Health Channel thing I'm doing. and Strike will be back in the studio here. So until that time, this is Dr. Drew saying goodnight and stay well.